foundation or basis,
which it refers back to.
وَأُخَرُوا مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ. After the ayah, the explanation, and there are other ayahs which are mutashabihat, unclear on their own. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning. Their meaning is unclear when they are taken alone. These ayahs which are mutashabihat, their meaning is unclear when they are taken alone. However, when they are referred back, when they are referred back to the clear and decisive texts, which are muhkam, then they clarify them and explain them. Then he mentions, so the rasikhuna fil ilm, who are also mentioned in the ayah, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they take the mutashabih, those ayahs whose meaning is not immediately apparent, and they refer them back to the muhkam, to that whose meaning is immediately clear. And they explain the speech of Allah, some parts with others. And they explain the speech of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some parts with others. Or they explain the speech of Allah with the Sunnah of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they explain the Sunnah of the Messenger with the speech of Allah. Because all of it is from Allah. All of it has come from Allah. And therefore they say, آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Same ayah, 7th ayah of the 3rd surah, Surah Ali Imran. That they say, we have iman in it, we believe in it. All of it is from our Lord. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning al-muhkam wal-mutashabih. And that which is just clear and decisive, and that which is unclear until it's taken in light of other ayahs.
In other words, this is the path of the
most firmly grounded in knowledge. Then he said, referring to some, the other group of people who are mentioned in the ayah, the people of Zayd of deviation, he said, as for the people of deviation, and Allah's refuge is sought, then they take hold of the mutashabih, that which is unclear on its own. They take hold of that which is unclear on its own, and they use it as a proof. And they abandon the muhkam. They abandon that which is clear in meaning. And they do not refer that which is unclear, the mutashabih, to the muhkam, that which is clear, because of an evil intent which they have. And he mentions what that is in the part of the ayah, ibtigha' al-fitna, seeking fitna. They do that, ibtigha' al-fitna, seeking fitna, seeking discord, trials and tribulation. And he explained the meaning of that. He said, meaning trying and tempting the people away from their religion. And they say, this is the speech of Allah. I mean, those who take hold of that which is unclear in meaning, and then they put it out to the people. He said, and they say, this is the speech of Allah, and this is the speech of the Messenger. And they tempt the people away from their religion. And when they come to them with an ayah which is mutashabih, which is not clear straight away in meaning, or when they come with a hadith which is mutashabih, which is not clear straight away in its meaning, then they say, this is the speech of Allah, and this is the speech of the Messenger, and what do you say? So they make it appear to the people that they are correctly using as proof the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger. So they tempt them away from their religion. Just before continuing, as a side point here,
And with regard to this part of the ayah, ibtigha al-fitna, seeking that they do that, the people of Zayd, they follow that which is mutashabih, unclear in meaning to begin with. They seek that. Ibtigha al-fitna, seeking fitna. And Ibn al-Hafidh ibn Kathir said in his tafsir of the ayah, أي إضلال أتباعهم, meaning to misguide, ابتغاء الفتنة, seeking فتنة, he said meaning to misguide their followers, causing them to think that they are establishing proof for their bid'ah, for their innovation with the Qur'an. And this is actually a proof against them, not for them. Explanation of the Prophet ibn Kathir to that part of the ayah. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, continuing with their practice, he said, an example of that, these people come and they bring the mutashabih, they bring that which is not clear straight away. He said, an example of that is that some ignorant people who seek out, they deliberately seek out texts from the hadith which are unclear in meaning on their own, and they bring them out to the people saying, we will use this hadith, and saying to themselves, we will use this hadith to cause trouble, as a proof to cause the people to think that they are not upon the truth. And these hadith which they bring are not unknown to the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge have explained them and clarified what is meant from them. However, those people, they seek to make a separation between this and that. And they bring a part of something and leave a part. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلُ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 27, with the explanation, they cut off that which Allah has commanded should be joined. They cut off that which Allah has commanded should be joined. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, this is the way of the people of Zayl. This is the way of the people of deviation in every time and every place. They separate parts of the speech of Allah away from the rest. And they separate parts of the speech of the Messenger away from the rest. And they say, we are using the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger as evidence. He said, we say, no, you are not using as proof the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger. If you were indeed using the speech of Allah and the speech of the Messenger, then you would refer that which is mutashabih, you would refer that whose meaning is unclear, back to the muhkam, back to that whose meaning is clear. But as for you taking one part and leaving another part, then this is not using the speech of Allah nor the speech of His Messenger as proof. Rather, and he quotes the remainder of the ayah from Surah Al-Imran, 3rd Surah, ayah 7, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ. With the explanation, but as for those, and this part of the ayah comes after the mention of those firmly grounded in knowledge, what their path is, then there comes this, the explanation. And as for those who have deviation in their hearts, then they follow that which is unclear from it, seeking fitna, seeking trial and discord, and seeking to falsely interpret it. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is the path of the people of deviation, always and forever. We ask, and we ask, so we ask Allah for afiyah, for safety and security. And just with regard to that part of the ayah as well, وَابْتِغَاءَ تَعْوِيلِهِ, that they do so seeking its explanation, or seeking to give an explanation, seeking to give that explanation to it. And again, Al-Hafidh al-Kathir said, the explanation of that part of the ayah, the last part, وَابْتِغَاءَ تَعْوِيلِهِ, seeking ta'wil of it. He said, meaning, أي تَحْرِيفَهُ عَلَى مَا يُرِيدُونَ, mean that they seek to twist its meaning in accordance with what they desire. They seek to twist its meaning to be in accordance with what they desire. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan goes on here, because this word occurs here, وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ, that they are seeking, they seek ta'wil of it. He goes on to make a very important point, that there are different types of ta'wil. This word ta'wil is used for different things. So he says, أنواع التأويل, the types of ta'wil. He said the first type of ta'wil is that what is meant by ta'wil is a tafsir wa bayan al ma'na. What is meant by ta'wil is explanation and clarification of a meaning. This is something that, of course, like the rest of this must be understood and this must be memorized. The first meaning of ta'wil is a tafsir wa bayan al ma'na, explanation and clarification of the meaning. Shaykh al-Fawzan then said, and this is what was well known to the early people, the early scholars. In the ta'wil with them, it meant this, giving explanation and clarification of the meaning. This is what was known with the earlier people, such as Ibn Jarir and others. And when he says Ibn Jarir, he means the great Mufassir of the Quran, Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari. He said, they used to call tafsir, they used to call explanation, in explanation of the Quran, they used to call it ta'wil. So with this meaning, then the rasikhun, those firmly grounded in knowledge, they are joined along with Allah's majestic name. In this ayah, all of this referring to that same ayah, the seventh ayah from Surah Ali Imran. So with this meaning, explanation and clarification of the meaning, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge are joined along with Allah's majestic name. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ, and none know its ta'wil, and none know its explanation and the clarification of its meaning. Shaykh said meaning its explanation. إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and none know its explanation except for Allah and those firmly grounded in knowledge. The Shaykh said meaning, and those firmly grounded in knowledge, they know that. They know that ta'wil, they know the explanation of the speech. They know that. As opposed to other than those firmly grounded in knowledge, then they do not know the meaning of the clear and decisive and of the unclear texts. So this is the way of reciting of some of the reciters, that they stop at his saying, He the Most High, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Some reciters stop there. And when they recite this ayah, some of the famous reciters, they stop there. They recite all of that part together with the explanation, and no one knows its explanation except for Allah and those firmly grounded in knowledge. And then they stop. So that Shaykh said, so it means, with that recitation, and stopping there, it means that Allah, the Majestic and Most High, He knows that which He sent down. And those firmly grounded in knowledge, they know that. By means of that which Allah, the Perfect and Most High, taught them. Because they are the inheritors of the prophets. And as for those who are lesser than them, from the students and the beginners, then they have not reached this level. Then Sheikh Barzan gives a second meaning of ta'wil, the second correct meaning, this being the first correct meaning, as occurs in the text. Now he gives the second correct meaning. He said, and the second meaning of ta'wil is معرفة الحقيقة التي يؤول إليها الشيء في المستقبل. The second meaning of ta'wil is awareness of the reality which something will result in future. Awareness of the reality that something will result in the future. Okay. And with this meaning, it becomes binding to stop after the majestic name of Allah. And he's saying, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. In the first explanation, the first meaning of ta'wil, in the explanation, clarification of the meaning, then people acknowledge there is, with that meaning, they recite the ayah and stop where they stop where he mentioned. Because that is something which is known to Allah, and it is something in the explanation of the revelation, is something known to people knowledge. However, with this meaning, the final result of the affairs, how things will end up in future. He said, with this meaning of ta'wil, if you take this meaning, then you have to stop here. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And no one knows the final outcome except Allah. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan explains why, with this meaning, the stop has to be made there. He said, because no one knows the reality of these matters which Allah has mentioned in the Quran with regard to paradise and the fire and what will occur on the day of resurrection and whatever will occur in future. No one knows the reality and how that will be except Allah. And likewise, the names and attributes. No one knows their full and true reality and how they are except Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So then it is binding, with this meaning, it is binding to stop upon or stop after mention of Allah's Majestic name. So if ta'wil, the first meaning is taken and the ayah is recited all the way through, as the second explanation is meant, taken, awareness of how things will turn out in future, then only Allah knows that. So with that meaning, then the stop is there. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Only Allah knows the final outcome of the intended foot, the final outcome of the affairs. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and with this meaning, with the second meaning of ta'wil, that occurs his saying, He the Most High, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا تَعْوِيلًا. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 53. With the explanation, are they awaiting its ta'wil? Are they awaiting its final outcome? Sheikh said, meaning, are they waiting except for how it will turn out in future? يَوْمَ يَأْتِي تَعْوِيلُهُ. Next part. The explanation. On the day when its ta'wil happens. On the day when its outcome happens. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, of a day when its reality and how it is actually occurs, and how it is that Allah is informed about it. يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ نَسُوهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ فَهَلْ لَنَا مِنْ شُفَعَاءَ فَيَشْفَعُوا لَنَا أَوْ نُرَدُّ فَنَعْمَلَ غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلُ. So Araf, the continuation of the ayah, ayah 53, with the explanation that on that day, when its reality occurs, then those who neglected it before will say, the messengers of our Lord came with the truth. So do we have anyone who can intercede for us? Or could we be sent back to do actions other than what we used to do? Sheikh Ghazan said, meaning when they actually see the day of resurrection. They see the realities, the full realities of that which Allah has informed about from the affairs of the hidden and the unseen. Then they will know that they were upon error, and that they have fallen short, and that they have been negligent. So then they will wish to be able to return, or that someone could intercede for them. In other words, the meaning of this, the word ta'wil is mentioned here in this ayah, twice in this ayah, and that's the meaning of it here, in the final outcome. How things will turn out, in this case, meaning on the day of resurrection. Then he gives another example showing the correctness of this meaning of ta'wil from the Qur'an. He said, and likewise, his saying he the Most High in the story of Yusuf, when he raised his parents up and sat them upon the throne, and they fell down in prostration, his brothers fell down in prostration to him. He said, وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَعْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا. Surah Yusuf, 12th Surah, Ayah 100. With the explanation, and he said, the Yusuf alayhi salam said, oh my father, this is the ta'wil. He went, he took his parents and he placed them upon the throne with him, and his brothers fell down in prostration. He said, this is the ta'wil. This is the final outcome of my dream which I had before. My Lord has made it come true. Sheikh Ghazan said, meaning, this is the explanation of its reality and its outcome. It has now happened and become clear. He said, because at the beginning of the surah, he said, Ya abati inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba wa shamsa wal qamara ra'aytuhum li sajideen. Surah Yusuf, same surah, 12th surah, ayah 4, with the explanation. And Yusuf alayhi salam said, oh my father, I have seen 11 stars and the sun and the moon. I have seen them prostrating to me. Sheikh Ghazan said, and the ta'wil, in the final outcome of this and the explanation of it, happened after a very long period of time, when his father and his mother and his brothers went to him in Egypt, after he had become a king over it. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفَ آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ وَقَالَ ادْخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Ayahs 99 and 100, again of Surah Yusuf, 12th Surah, with the explanation. So when they entered upon Yusuf, he took his parents towards himself, and he said, enter Egypt, if Allah wishes, in peace and security. And he raised his parents and sat them upon the throne. on the Arsh. Sheikh al-Fawzan said the Arsh is the seat of the king and the sitting place of the king. وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا, and they prostrated to him. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, with a prostration of greeting. And this was permissible in their religion, but that was abrogated in our revealed law. And making prostration to a created being was prohibited. So this was the ta'wil, this was the final outcome of the dream which he had before. This was its outcome and its reality. So this is the meaning of ta'wil in the Qur'an. That is of two categories. The first category is awareness of the meaning. The ta'wil means awareness of the meaning. And the second category is that it is awareness of the full reality and how the thing will turn out in future. So as for the first of these, then that is known by the scholars. As for the first, meaning of ta'wil, meaning knowledge of the meaning of the texts, that is known to the scholars. And as for the second, then that is not known except by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And then he goes on, so these are the two correct meanings of ta'wil. And then he goes on to mention a third meaning of ta'wil, which is a newly introduced and false meaning of ta'wil. So we'll mention that, and then I'll leave it. I'll break the chapter there, and we'll take the rest next time. So he says, and there is a third meaning given to ta'wil, which is muhdath, newly invented. It was introduced by the scholars of kalam, of rhetorical speech, or theoretical rhetoric. And it is صَرْفُ اللَّفْ عَنْ ظَاهِرِهِ إِلَى مَعْنًا آخَرٍ بِدَلِيلٍ يَقْتَرِنُ بِذَلِكَ. So this is the new meaning, he said, which the people of kalam, theological rhetoric, have introduced. And they define this ta'wil as diverting the wording away from what is apparent to another meaning because of an evidence in the context along with it. Just to repeat that, this is how these people introduce ta'wil with this meaning, how they define it. Diverting the wording away from what is apparent from it to another meaning because of an evidence in the context along with it. Sheikh said, as they claim. This is what they claim. Then he said, and there is no basis for this ta'wil in the Book of Allah, nor in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Rather, it is just a new terminology which has been introduced. And therefore, meaning based upon it, they interpret, they do ta'wil, they interpret al-yad, the hand, to mean a qudra, ability. And he mentions a list of attributes of Allah which they apply this newly introduced ta'wil to, misinterpretation to. So he said, they interpret the hand to mean ability, and they interpret al-wajh, the face, to mean the dhat, the self, and they interpret ar-rahmah, the mercy, to mean the desire to bestow favor. And they interpret al-ghadab, Allah's anger, to mean the desire to punish. And they interpret al-nuzul, descending, and al-majid, and coming. They interpret that to mean the coming of his command and the descent of his command. He said, this is how they divert the wording and explain it with other than its true meaning. This is the blameworthy ta'wil. This is the blameworthy misinterpretation And it is a terminology which is newly introduced. Saying that we have this thing called ta'wil, and this is what it means, this is a newly introduced and blameworthy terminology. Sheikh said, as for the correct ta'wil, then it is what is mentioned in the Qur'an. And it is of two types, as we have already mentioned. And as for the people of deviation, those who have zayyikh, deviation in their hearts, then they take that which is unclear, mutashabih, and they do not refer it back to that which is muhkam, that which is clear. They take that which is unclear, and they leave aside that which is decisive and clear, muhkam. And they say, we are using the Qur'an as proof. And then Shaykh Fawzan goes on to give examples from the deviant sects of how they do that. Beginning with the Khawarij. He mentions a number of examples. I'm going to take the remainder of that. And for those of you referring to the questions that have been placed on Salafi Talk, then the questions for this, where I read up to here, goes from question 1 to question 19. And the remainder of the questions, question 20 to 27, then they will refer to part of the problem here next week, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's the clarification? Fawzan mentioned that the ta'wil is mentioned in the ayah. So to make clear what the true meaning of ta'wil is, and the true meaning of ta'wil as occurs in the book, and as occurs in the sunnah, it has just two meanings, either this or that. To make clear that this third meaning here is something false, that when they come along and say that we say Allah's hand, it means his ability, and when they ask why he's doing that, what's your evidence for that? I say because we're doing it based upon ta'wil. And ta'wil is something mentioned in the book, and so on and so on. The Shaykh Fawzan make clear here, no. Ta'wil, as is mentioned in the book, and the sunnah, it only occurs with one of these two meanings. It does not occur with the meaning of what these people are doing. This is something new. Something newly introduced. So, this new introduction of theirs, they define it, and they bring the definition of what they're doing, and they define it as being, they call it ta'wil. Instead of calling tahrif, what it actually is tahrif, is twisting the meaning away from the true meaning to the false meaning. But they don't, of course they won't say that. They say what we do is ta'wil, interpretation. And they define this ta'wil as صَرْفُ اللَّفْضَ عَنْ ظَاهِرِهِ إِلَى مَعْنًا آخَرَ بِدَلِيلٍ يَقْتَرِنُ بِذَلِكَ. They say it is, ta'wil is diverting the wording away from what is apparent from it to another meaning because of an evidence in the context which comes along with it. The words of the text, the word has an apparent meaning, that we don't take the apparent meaning. We give it a separate meaning from somewhere else because there's something in the context which means that we have to do that. We don't take what's apparent from the word. As for the text of the Shaykh, the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, and he was, and whatever is problematic, or unclear by the word, and whatever is problematic from that, of course it's in the context of the texts, of Allah's names and attributes. And whatever is problematic from that, then it is obligatory to affirm its wording and to leave off going into its meaning. And we refer knowledge of it back to the one who said it. And we entrust its reliability to the one who transmitted it, following the path of those firmly grounded in knowledge whom Allah praised in His clear book, in His saying, He the Perfect and Most High, in the part of the ayah from Surah Al-Imran, and those firmly grounded in the explanation, and those firmly grounded in knowledge say, we believe in it, it is all from our Lord. With regard to question, should we as Muslims hate the actions of the unbelievers, or hate them, or both? As all questions which are outside, that's why I say any clarifications, because what I prefer to do is just clarify anything which I'm able to clarify from the actual lesson itself. Any questions outside the lesson, then put them to the people of knowledge. So likewise with regard to this one, put this question to the people of knowledge. Something the best of what I know is that no doubt, from what I've heard, from people of knowledge can recall, is that we hate the unbelievers because of their actions, because of what they're implying. We hate the unbelievers because of their evil beliefs and their evil actions. We don't make the separations that some of the Sufis do between his actions are separate, the unbelievers one thing, his actions are separate from him. We hate his actions, and as for him, then what do we do with him? What I know is we hate the unbelievers because of their unbelief and because of their evil actions. And if they repent from that, if the truth is made clear to them and they repent from that, turn back from that, turn to their Lord, they accept Islam, then we love them as their believers. So we don't just hate them forevermore, we hate that individual, whatever he does, whatever happens in his life. Rather, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved that his people should be guided. So we hope that they're guided, and when we can establish the proof upon them, then we do so, and call them to the truth of Islam. If they accept Islam, then we love them. As long as they remain upon unbelief, then we hate them. We hate them for their unbelief and for their actions.
In the ayah, ibtigha' al-fitnati wa ibtigha' al-ta'wila, is that referring to the second meaning of kayfiyah and haqiqa?
Regard to ibtigha'a, the last part of the ayah, with regard to what the people say, what they do, that they follow that which is mutashabih, as the Shaykh mentioned, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ, that those who have deviation in their hearts, that they follow, of course, as this being mentioned after the first part, what the people who are rasikhuna fil ilm, what they do, that if there's anything which is unclear to begin with, then they refer it back to that which is muhkam, that which is clear. But as for those who have zayyid in their hearts, deviation in their hearts, then they follow, they take hold of shaykh, as I mentioned, they take hold of that which is unclear, and that's what they take hold of, and they leave aside that which is clear. Ibtigha' al-fitna, seeking trial and discord, Shaykh Balzan made clear, seeking to misguide the people with it, to misguide the people away from their religion. وَابْتِغَاءَ تَعْوِيلِهِ, and seeking its ta'wil. As Ibn Kathir said, أي تَحْرِيفَهُ عَلَى مَا يُرِيدُونَ, twisting the meaning in accordance with what they want. Explaining it in accordance with the first meaning. Explaining it in accordance with what they're about doing in a relationship. So, tafsir, but wrong tafsir.
Question. Just ask him a question.
And the brother, Jazakallahu Khairan, just mentioned the point that this matter of muhkam and mutashabih is a matter which is brought up by Shaykh Hussain Abdul Wahhab in his great book, Kashf al-Shubuhat, which is also available on Salafi Talk. The questions and answers refer to along with the text. And in that you'll find that Shaykh Hussain Abdul Wahhab makes the point that the grave worshippers, this is something you'll very often find on the grave worshippers and the extreme Sufis, that to support their grave worship, that they will use, they will, of course they won't just say we haven't got any evidence for what we're doing, they'll try and bring some evidence. So what Shaykh Hussain mentions is that what they try and bring is ayahs which are mutashabih, ayahs which are not immediately clear. But they bring an ayah which they can understand, that they can try and convince people, look, it means what we're doing here. But when the ayah is taken in the light of other clear ayahs, which forbid the worship of others besides Allah, forbid making dua to other than Allah, forbid taking others as intermediaries between you and Allah, then the meaning of that ayah becomes very clear. But he explains that is their practice, that they'll try and take ayahs which are mutashabih to support what they are from. Whereas the people of knowledge, the people of sunnah, they quote in rebuttal of that, ayahs which are muhkam, ayahs which are clear and decisive in meaning, that there's no possible second meaning we can explain, or it can be explained this way or that way. No, they bring ayahs in rebuttal of them, which are muhkam, clear in their meaning. Mention where we've got to, anyone who's got the version we've got here, we just started on page 43 when it comes to Fayyabul Khawarij. We haven't quite started on that. So we reached a part of this, the section, the explanation of the Shaykh's work, the Imam's words. Take the rest along with the next point, next time, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.